Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good morning or good evening, or depending on where you are. So let's start off by saying please go to Wiser Living, WeiserLiving.com. And on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. It'll be a pop-up. No, it's not a pop-up now. It's actually there permanently. You can click on Wiser Living TV, that link. You can watch all of the YouTube videos we've uploaded. By subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you will also be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archive radio programs at Wiser Living Radio. And you can check out the menu bar that lists all of the articles, programs, services, Wiser Living seminars, recipes. I know a lot of people like the recipes and products. So do take a look at that at your earliest convenience. And once again, check out WiserLiving.com. Subscribe to Wiser Living TV. Follow us at Wiser Living Radio. Like us at Facebook.com/WiserLiving. And you can also connect with us at Google Plus, our Google Plus family out there, Twitter family, and the LinkedIn family. Oh, and also Pinterest. Don't forget Pinterest. So, wow, this is Dr. Bud Wiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune into this broadcast today. Your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 28 minutes, little short minutes because they do go pretty fast, I want to add to your wellness experience as well as to my wellness experience. So let's start out with a little science. And I know a lot of people, the science, oh my goodness, science and math, but I thought it was very important to start out with a little science, and hopefully I can make it where, you know, it doesn't bore you, or, you know, you fall off the seat. So if you're driving, you might want to pull over and put the thing in park and just listen to this. You know, I want to start out with bile. You know, bile is produced by the liver and is stored in the gallbladder. It seems like, okay, that you know, I already know that, but I think this is, you really need this needs to land, as they say in Europe. Bile is produced by the liver, but it's stored in the gallbladder. So the first section of the small intestine receives in the enzyme-rich secretions that help digest food. Your pancreas is one of the organs that secrete enzymes into the first part of the small intestine. Enzymes found in your pancreatic juice, it breaks down all the major nutrients, including carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. But the pancreas, it needs a little help. So it needs help from the liver and the gallbladder when it comes to breaking down fats. So as you can see, during the digestive process in the pancreas, the digestive process includes the pancreas, it includes the liver, and it includes the gallbladder. They all work together with some enzymes to break down the food that you ate. And actually, you know, it gets it ready for further digestion and nutrient absorption. So the digestive process is essential, but the nutrient absorption process is what you actually need. So you tasted the food, smelled it, it looked good, it tastes good. You know, you got to savor it with your taste buds. But once it gets inside, there's a lot of sciences going on. And so you need all of these organs. They're not like some vestigial organ that you can remove and it's okay. Yeah, you can live without it, but to what extent? What's the downside? So let's move to the liver. The liver is essentially a very large gland. It's located under the diaphragm, and it lies mostly in the upper right side of the abdominal cavity. So it's on the right side. So if you've got pain on the right side, you got to start thinking, you know, well, the doctor should be thinking certain organs. So stick with me here. The liver is a big organ with many big jobs to perform. It's an important organ in the digestive process, and it also carries out many metabolic and regulatory functions for your body. So with that said, it is important to realize that the liver is an essential digestive organ because it produces bile. Okay, so far we have the pancreas involved in digestion. We have enzymes involved in digestion. We have a liver involved in digestion, and now bile. So what is bile? Well, Bile is a yellowish-green fluid that aids in the emulsification or the breakdown of large fat globules into smaller ones. So bile is essentially something that emulsifies fats. Bile is not an enzyme, but it does contain bile salts that break down large fat droplets. So what does it mean to emulsify fats? Well, we see that bile salts actually coat the large fat droplets and then break the large fat droplets down into smaller fat droplets. It is as if bile comes into your digestive tract with a sledgehammer, smashing all these large droplets of fat into these smaller ones, which become more manageable by the body. Now, this act of emulsification increases the overall surface area of the fat and makes it easier for the pancreatic enzyme called lipase to do its job. Okay, so now you know that lipase from the pancreas is an enzyme that breaks down the dietary fat molecule. So you eat a meal that travels down your throat into your stomach. The stomach injects some acid, some hydrochloric acid, to break it down before passing it into the first part of your small intestine. Once that happens, the pancreas secretes some juicy enzymes to start breaking down major nutrients like carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. The gallbladder. The gallbladder is the next player on this digestive team, or I call it team digestion. It can be thought of as a storage sac that helps the liver. So the gallbladder is a storage sac that helps the big organ called the liver. So it's defined as a small sac-shaped organ that stores and concentrates bile. Remember, bile is that yellowish-green acid-tasting stuff that's produced by your liver that breaks down fat. Now, your gallbladder is positioned beneath your liver on the right side of your body near your last rib, and it's in line with your a vertical line straight up and down with the nipple of your breast. So when there is no food in the small intestine, bile that was initially made by the liver backs up into the gallbladder to be stored. Once again, I want this to really land as well, because I think this is an important part of this story. When there is no food in your small intestine, that yellowish-green fluid called bile, it backs up into the gallbladder to be stored. You need this particular bladder to store the gall, because gall means bile. The liver doesn't store gall or bile. The gall is stored in a bladder outside of the liver. That's why they call it the gallbladder, or bile bladder, to be more precise. It's almost like your body doesn't want to waste the bile that the liver works so hard to produce, so your body conserves unused bile by storing it in your gallbladder until the next time you eat. And while it's in storage within the gallbladder, the bile is concentrated by the removal of water, right? Okay. Then when you eat a fatty meal and that fat reaches the first part of your intestine, a hormonal stimulus tells the gallbladder to contract, which starts to push the stored bile into your digestive tract. So I hope you can start to see that these organs they're on the team. They're working together. You know, it's like some people, when you go to work, you're on a team. Or, you know, like people that are in sports, there's a team. Or in direct sales or network marketing, there's a network and there's a team. And if you remove an integral part of that team, a team member, you don't function as well. So, while it's in storage, that bile within your gallbladder, it's concentrated. So it's concentrated, and then it takes out the water. So there has to be some kind of sac or storage place for all this to happen. So, you know, once again, that hormonal stimulus tells the gallbladder to contract. There's a hormone that actually tells the gallbladder to contract. So if it's making a phone call to the gallbladder and to contract and it's not there, what happens then? Now, the liver and the gallbladder each have their own ducts, D-U-C-T-S, that lead directly from these organs. But there's also a duct that is common to both the organs and that carries bile from the liver and the gallbladder to the small intestine. And it's called the common bile duct. You know, so it makes sense you would call that the common bile duct because it's common to both of them. This is a very efficient transportation system in a normal, healthy body. But if this common duct becomes blocked due to a gallstone or some other disorder, bile will not be able to reach the small intestine. And this can cause bile to back up into the liver, which doesn't have an area to store bile. That's the gallbladder's job. So if this yellowish-green fluid backs up into the liver, it can enter into your bloodstream and lead to a yellowing of the skin or the whites of your eyes, which is known as jaundice. So let's do a little overview. Question. What secretes bile? The gallbladder stores and secretes bile into where? The first part of the small intestine, right? And it aids in digestion of this stuff called chyme, C-H-Y-M-E, chyme. You know, bile is a mixture of water, bile salts, cholesterol, and bilirubin, which emulsifies or breaks down large masses of fat into smaller masses. Question. What is secreted into the small intestine? Okay, in response to this acid entering the small intestine, secretin is secreted by the first part of the small intestine. Secretin stimulates the pancreas and the bile ducts to release sodium bicarbonate. And this sodium bicarbonate travels through the pancreatic duct to the first part of the intestine to neutralize the acid. Now, even if you didn't get that, if you go into your cabinet, which I did this morning, and I pulled out a box of baking soda, that's sodium bicarbonate. Guess what that does? It neutralizes. It kind of, you know, it's the opposite of acid. It's like a base. It neutralizes. Alkalizes, you know, like alkaline water. It does the opposite. It calms down the acid so it doesn't eat through, you know, your little organ or the intestinal tract. The sodium bicarbonate, once again, it travels through the pancreatic duct to the first part of the intestine to neutralize the acid. Every time you use baking soda, you are using sodium bicarbonate. I have a box right here in front of me, and it says, for quality baking and safe, effective cleaning and deodorizing. Natural freshness. That's exactly what's happening inside your body if you have a gallbladder. Question. What does the gallbladder have to do with the digestive system? Answer. The gallbladder is a small sac located under where? The liver. What side? The right side. It stores and concentrates bile, which is produced in the liver. The gallbladder releases bile, which helps to digest fat, into the upper small intestine after you eat, especially fats. So here's another question. Many people have had their gallbladders removed. Has any of them been told by the surgeon what to do to compensate for removing this important organ? I did say important. Most of the people that I've talked to over the years, they were told that they didn't need the gallbladder. They didn't need the gallbladder, and it was okay to have it removed. The problem with this, as you are aware of now, is that it condemns you to a lifelong deficiency of essential fatty acids. Why? Because after your liver produces bile, which emulsifies fat to improve fat digestion, half of it goes to the small intestine, and the other half is stored in the, where? Bladder of gall, gallbladder. Until when? Until it's needed again. If there is no gallbladder to store it, it will constantly drip bile into your small intestine, whether there's no food there or not. Whether the research, you know, bears this out, or if there's another, you know, if you can find it or not, we can at least, or believe it or not, we can at least agree that there's going to be a difference in the bile secretion, acid secretion into the small intestine if you have a gallbladder versus not having a gallbladder. That we can at least agree that something is going to be different. So I just spent a few minutes just explaining how all of these organs work in tandem on that right side, of, you know, the middle to right side. So if there's no gallbladder to store this bile, then it will constantly drip into the small intestine, food is there or not. Now, about 500,000 gallbladders are removed each year in the United States. The great majority are removed due to gallstones. Gallstones affect about 15% of Americans. Gallstones form when bile is in the gallbladder too long and it collects and then it settles. And although most gallstones naturally dissolve and produce no symptoms, there are others that there are people that they basically ignore the warning signs because, you know, it just doesn't, they don't just pop up. You get some warning signs. So if a person ignores the warning symptoms and they don't address the reason why the gallbladder is not functioning properly, then the disease can progress to the point where the pancreas is inflamed or the gallbladder is seriously infected and may have to be removed to save a person's life. That's when you need to remove your gallbladder, not because you have pain. Those are like symptoms that there are things that you can actually do to keep from having it removed. So let me go over three signs of a dysfunctioning gallbladder, okay? Number one, pain when pressing on the gallbladder, which is directly under the last rib on the right side on the same plane as the breast nipple. That's why I mentioned that before. This is usually due to gallbladder sludge. You don't have a stone yet. You just got this sludgy stuff that can be liquefied appropriately if you recognize the symptoms. Number two, there's a stone on the gallbladder. Well, there's a stone in the gallbladder, but the stone is seen on ultrasound. So you need to go get that checked out. And number three, greasy stools that are loose and tend to float to the top of the toilet bowl. This is an indication of improper fat absorption. So whether you can find the gallbladder to press, you know, to press on the right side in line with your breast nipple, under the last rib and find it, or you know, you may not have time to go get an ultrasound, or your insurance doesn't cover it, or whatever. But number three, we all are going to the bathroom, all of us. So if you got stuff floating around, you know that that's an indication that you don't have proper fat absorption, and you have time to do something about it. So if you want to prevent gallstone formation or sludge, or a dysfunctional gallbladder, here's my recommendations. Number one, maintain a normal weight. Obese women are 7 times more likely to develop gallstones. Obesity increases cholesterol synthesis, which leads to more cholesterol secreted in the bile, which leads to the sludge and eventually the stone. Weight loss should occur at a steady pace, since rapid reduction can increase what they call biliary cholesterol saturation. Adequate amounts of healthy fats should also be included in your diet, since prolonged dietary fat reduction can also promote cholesterol saturation and prevent the proper emptying of the gallbladder. So staying away from fats is the wrong thing to do because you can get a stone from that. You need healthy fats in the system. You need to learn to manage stress. I think that's one of the biggest culprits is stress, because there's so many different kinds of stress, physiological stress, you got stress at work, stress at home, stress on the freeway, you know, stress from your cell phones. You know, one study showed that chronic social stress can link bile retention, increase bladder hypertrophy, which is an increase in the size of the gallbladder, and inhibit gallbladder emptying. Just social stress. Next, engage in a brisk-paced aerobic activity such as cycling, jogging, or swimming for 20 to 30 minutes every day. And I know right now I can hear people just in my brain, people say, I don't have time to exercise swimming, I don't swim. You know, you can tell me all the things that you don't do, and I'm saying if you don't want, if you want your gallbladder to stick around, you need to start doing some of these things. You need to incorporate them into your daily routine because it's more important than really going to your job. It's more important than going to some sporting event. It's more important to going, you know, to going downtown and or you know, just doing all these different types of things, you know, watching TV. It's more important than that. This is your body. These are your organs. They demand your constant vigilance. Wow. Anyway, a study of over 60,000 women showed that regular exercise, this is crazy, showed that regular exercise reduced gallbladder surgery risk by 20%. Think half a million unnecessary, well, let's say a half a million gallbladder surgeries, removals, and you can reduce 20% of those. That's on the minimum side. So you have to look at these things. I mean, it seems as like it's hard, but it's really simple. You know, you can try an allergy elimination diet. This might be a little challenging, but, you know, one study showed that 100% of subjects became free from gallbladder attack symptoms on a basic elimination diet. You know, starting to eliminate like beef, rice, soybeans, rice, cherries, peach, apricot, beet, and spinach. I don't know so much about, I don't want to eliminate beets. I mean, I like beets, especially if they're fermented. I love spinach. Of course, I love fruit and stuff like that. And basmati rice, I don't deal with soybeans. I can agree with that. But you can not so much go on an elimination diet, but a proper diet, which is eating foods that your body, for your body type. And, we can have a program that I've done on that, so we can check that out later. You know, you should be consuming 5 to 9 servings of fresh vegetables and fruits daily. And if you have a blender, blend a bunch of veggies and a piece of fruit one to two times a day, along with your meals. Don't blend and forget to eat, because when you starve yourself, your body on the inside is perceiving that you are anorexic, that you are starving it, and it will go into a storage mode. Drink at least 8 glasses or half your body weight in ounces of fresh filtered water each day, because it will maintain the water content of your bile. And I know you can get on the internet and some doctors are saying, you know, you don't need water and all this stuff. You have to like start sifting and sorting through all this craziness that's on the internet sometimes. And you need the water, so drink water if you don't want sludge in your gallbladder. Start reading ingredient labels so you're not getting too much wheat into your system. You can substitute wheat for buckwheat, you know, because there's one Japanese study that showed that buckwheat significantly decreases gallstone formation and reduces cholesterol concentration. That's pretty interesting. So, what if you have had your gallbladder removed? You know, I get a lot of questions about this, and I see people that I have asked not to get their gallbladder removed, and they say they have this pain, and they're throwing up, and they're nauseated, and they have the gallbladder removed, and then they call me and say, "Doc, I don't understand why I have this pain. You know, I still have this pain." Well, I didn't remove the gallbladder. I asked you not to remove the gallbladder. So, and now you can see that the pain and the nausea, being nauseated, had nothing to do with your gallbladder. But you can't go get your gallbladder back and have it reinserted. So you need high-quality fats, especially omega-3 fats, because they're essential for good health. And if you don't have a gallbladder, you'll have an impaired ability to actually absorb them. So you need omega-3s. Trying to digest fat without bile is like trying to wash greasy dishes without soap. Get some of it off, but not all of it. So if your gallbladder has been removed, then you need to compensate by providing an increased level of fat digested enzymes, or multi-phase gastrointestinal enzymes, or GI enzymes, to compensate with this. That means you're taking GI enzymes with each meal every day for the rest of your life. Why? Because it ensures that the fats can be absorbed and used by your body for their many, because fats have many important functions. You have to have fat in your system. If you don't have a gallbladder, you will also need to take some form of bile salts with every meal for the rest of your life. So you can prevent a good percentage of the good fats that you consume from being flushed down the toilet. Remember, if you don't have enough healthy fats in your diet, your entire physiological process, that your entire physiology will be disrupted, especially the ability of your body to make hormones and prostaglandin. Some more science words, prostaglandins, what in the world are those? Well, prostaglandins have the ability to lower blood pressure, to regulate to regulate acid secretion in the stomach, regulate body temperature, platelet aggregation, control of inflammation, and it affects the action of certain hormones. So I hope you can begin to start seeing the importance of a gallbladder. Every physiological process that your body performs is facilitated or expedited or promoted or helped at the level of the cell. Every organ in your body is made up of lots of cells. The gallbladder is made up of bunches of cells. The liver, made up of lots of cells. Those cells need to talk to each other to find out what their needs are. It uses a language. That language is called plant polysaccharides or plant sugars to accomplish that task. That's why you carbohydrate. That's why you supplement with certain patented polysaccharides or sugars. You know, those cells need protection from invaders like bacteria, toxins, and viruses. They call these antioxidants. So you need this. It's not a luxury because you need protection. Those cells need hormonal balance with amino acids and stuff like a wild yam extract from real food technology, not fake stuff. It needs nourishment from plant matrix or phytomatrix, vitamins and minerals, and it also needs exercise. It needs water. It needs gastrointestinal enzymes and gastrointestinal probiotics. Why? So the body can build, so the body can defend, so the body can restore itself on a continuous basis. You see, everything, not some things, everything starts with what you put in your mouth. Everything starts with what you put in your mouth. Obviously, education, information is great, but education is probably paramount. Because there's a lot of information out there, but there's also a lot of information that doesn't educate you. You know, you can talk about it to people and you can be informed, but if you don't really know what you need to know that you know what you know, it could cause you to make decisions in relation to your body that could cause problems. So in saying that, you can go to YouTube and check out Dr. Budweiser, Olive Oil and Lemon Juice Cleanse. Dr. Budweiser, Benefits of Soleil and How to Make It. Dr. Budweiser, Detoxification and Why Do It. Dr. Budweiser, the Benefits of Fermented Vegetables. On the radio, there's archived, all kind of archived programs like supplements. You should really listen to the one supplements that we did last week. Called Supplements Completing the Puzzle. Very important. This is just to take a few. I could take a bunch of them, but you should look at those archived ones because it will just punctuate what I'm about to say right now before I close. Really take this in. If you have to close your eyes for a minute and listen to what I'm going to say, a really short sentence. Food. Be your medicine. Let your food be your medicine. And let your medicine be your food. Let your food be your medicine. And let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Budweiser. I had a great time with you. We'll see you next week.